Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with wonderful guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of women in leadership positions in multifamily real estate. Joining me today by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Jessica Feuer, Managing Editor of Multi-Housing News, and Jana Frazier, Associate Vice President of Recruiting and Engagement for IMT Residential. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, Jessica, I want to start with you. I know that you've done some writing over the time during the pandemic, and when it comes to women, let's talk a little bit about what their role has been in multifamily as well as out of multifamily.
Sure, thank you. Well, this pandemic has taken a toll on everyone, of course. You know, people have lost their jobs. I don't have to go into all the details. Yep. We know how horrible it's been. But women have taken the lion's share of that responsibility. The ones who remain in the workforce often have to also do double duty with childcare. The ones who have kids at home have to do the schooling and set up the Zoom meetings. Although I will say now my six-year-old is better at Zoom than I am, and I ask her to help me on my meetings. But on top of that, the drive-by birthday parties, the cooking the dinner, and it's all fallen mostly on women, you know, not totally, but the lion's share. And it's made it very difficult to also work when we're constantly working. You know, now the workday extends and it fuses with the personal day, too. So it's just a never-ending battle.
Yeah, and Janet, in your role, recruitment and so forth, you have a definite eye on what's going on, and IMT has properties across the country. So you're familiar with what's going on in different markets. Have you seen any difference in that as far as women's ability to work through a pandemic situation when they've got these other responsibilities?
Oh, there's definitely some differences based on region. And like a lot of companies, we also have a difference based on if you're working at a site, obviously our sites need to remain open with modifications, of course. And of course, our corporate associates have been mostly working remotely. And so we have that difference there. Regionally, because different cities, counties, states have different requirements. That is required us to be very flexible and have national guidelines, but at the same time be flexible to accommodate each local jurisdiction. But out of all of this, and it certainly has been a challenge, but one positive outcome that I can see is that I think that people have demonstrated that they continue to be productive with a more flexible work arrangement. And I'm hoping that some of that flexibility will be available to people after the pandemic as well, which will help people just continue having that really great work-life balance that we all strive for.
Yeah, and I know that it's, before the pandemic, that there were companies who didn't even think about allowing employees to work remotely until it was a situation where they were forced to do that. What have you seen in the real estate industry, Jessica, as far as what type of flexibility employers are providing to their employees to try and keep their workflow where it needs to be, but also so that they can take care of the needs they have at home.
I think a lot of companies are seeing, as Dana mentioned, that they can allow employees to work from home. You know, before, in the before times, it seemed like most people were in the office. A lot of companies now are seeing that people are productive at home. Unfortunately, though, at the property level for multifamily, a lot of the positions, you need to be there. You need to work with your residents. And I know a lot of companies are giving maybe flexible hours or working with their employees, but a lot, it's an industry where you still do have to go in.
Yeah, and what types of things have you allowed your employees to do, Jana, during what's, you know, this terrible situation that everybody's been in?
Yeah, and as Jessica mentioned, it's really different between the property levels and corporate property levels. Unfortunately, there isn't a lot of flexibility that we've been able to provide, but we've done what we can. Jessica mentioned flexible schedules, allowing staggering some shifts. So there's simply fewer people in the same space at the same time is one option.
Mm-hmm.
And another is just kind of get creative with some seating, you know. I mean, our offices are our offices, but, you know, we do what we can with kind of helping people spread out a little bit. And of course, just providing all the safety measures and PPE that people need to feel safe. And we were already in the process of moving towards offering virtual tours, self-guided tours. You know, the industry was moving in that direction, and IMT was included in that. And that's another positive outcome, is that the pandemic has really sped up that process of offering those alternatives to our prospective residents. And I'm sure that will continue. It was a direction that the industry was already going, and that is just, we've just accelerated that a little bit.
Yeah, I've said it on our show before. When we've talked about the different technologies that people are utilizing now, and I'd mentioned that I would go to some of the national conferences, and they would have the expos, and there would be supplier partners with all these different new technologies. This was, you know, in the last few years, and I would ask people as they would come out of the booth, people in the industry, potential buyers, I would say, "What do you think about that technology?" And they would say, "Oh, I think it's a great idea, but we're a long way from there now." Well, lo and behold, you have a pandemic that changes things, and it causes the process to be expedited out of necessity. And there are several things, I think, that are going to stick around. And then I think some things will probably try to go back to a little bit normal. Jessica, I'm curious, because I know that, you know, part of what you do is also on the commercial real estate side. And we're talking about people working remotely. We had on the show some time ago, in the midst of the pandemic, a professor at a college who was in the multifamily industry for years, and he was talking about the different areas of real estate that are going to be financially affected, and that you know, obviously retail. Or actually hotels, I believe, was the worst at that time, with the biggest things to lose. And then retail was after that, multifamily was after that, office was after that, and then the best of all the segments was industrial, in his opinion. And what he said about the office commercial space was something I found very interesting. He said that right now it's doing okay, but because the commercial properties, offices where people work, are tied into long-term leases, that when those leases expire and people can work remotely, they've seen and proven that industry, that part of the industry is going to start hurting. But he said that's several years down the road, in his opinion. What have you heard about that?
I agree. I think there's definitely a time lapse. So companies had big leases now, and they're not getting rid of them. They're long-term leases. When those expire, will they have their workers work from home? I think that's yet to be seen. I think a lot of industries will want people back for client meetings, so their employees could talk and share ideas. But a lot of big companies, Google and Facebook, they're still leasing offices. So I don't think it'll totally be everyone work from home. That said, I think a lot of more companies will be more lenient with that, and maybe instead of having dedicated offices, we'll have more hoteling spaces for work and allow people to, work remotely some of the time and come in when needed. So I think that's going to change.
All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back after this short break for messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. We're discussing the topic of women in leadership positions in multifamily real estate. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Jessica Fiore, Managing Editor of Multi-Housing News, and Jana Frazier, Associate Vice President of Recruiting and Engagement for IMT Residential. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to let our listeners know if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So I want to talk a little bit about the roles that women play in multifamily. There's a lot of diversity at certain levels. There's been a recent survey that's come out that with Swift Bunny, that a white paper that talked about that there needs to be more women in more senior roles, but I wanted to first state, Jana, that IMT was recently recognized and won the award for the best place to work in multifamily for women in 2020, which is a great accomplishment. Congratulations!
Thank you. We're really proud of that award, and it was the first year that Multifamily Leadership ran that program and determined who would be the award winner, and we were so pleased to receive that. It's recognition of an area that we've been focusing on, our company culture, our efforts for diversity and inclusion. So thank you.
Yeah, so
that's wonderful.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're seeing in not just at IMT but in multifamily as far as the roles that women play in multifamily, and what do we see as the future for that?
Currently, we certainly do have an imbalance in multifamily when it comes to those those top level positions. We are still seeing that's predominantly white men in those roles, and we're there's a lack of gender diversity, a lack of diversity from people of color at those higher roles. But I feel more optimistic about it more recently than I have in the past. And I want to say that it probably started around a year ago, that there were a lot of really great conversations happening about this, about our imbalance in this industry. And particularly this year, I've been seeing and hearing some companies and some of our industry organizations actually coming up with action plans and actually giving concrete suggestions to companies. I think that one of the things that IMT does really well is that we do a really good job of taking a step back and looking at ourselves. And that means, with this in mind, taking a step back and looking at, well, who's in our leadership positions? And are we truly, representing, our full associate population? And that's what we're doing, right? As leaders, we are representing the companies and we're representing all of our people. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to have those voices in these leadership positions. And I think taking a step back and just looking at that and analyzing that has been really helpful. And we're really big on promotion from within, and particularly in our higher level positions. And so we look at who our high potentials are, and wanting again this a diverse leadership group, looking at within our high potentials who can we mentor to take on these higher level leadership roles, so we do have more diversity and inclusion.
And Jessica, what are you seeing out there across the board? And with your conversations with people in the industry?
So I totally agree. It's, it's still a lot of the white men who are in the high-level positions company-wide. On the property level, you do see more women in property management, in the leasing office, in marketing, which is wonderful. We just need to make strides to get it on the company level. And Jana mentioned promoting from within, which is awesome. But when a lot of the company level higher ups are men, it's going to be just men. So I love the idea of the mentoring and finding the people who are showing promise and really mentoring them and getting them ahead. Some companies I've heard and read about pair women with other women in leadership and really work to mentor that. And some even pair women with the male leaders, which I think is wonderful, because if you don't have someone to look up to, how are you going to get ahead? So I think people could look to the males too. No one's the enemy. So
right.
I think we're all in this together. But diversity, and it really does reflect the voices, and not just, as Jana mentioned, the voices of the company, but in multifamily, you want to reflect your residents as well. And, it's certainly not all men in multifamily in the apartment. So you want everyone's voice to shine and be heard.
Jana, what Jessica referred to as far as the pairing people, have you seen that happen in the industry? I don't know if IMT is doing that yet or not.
Yes, I think that mentorships and sponsorships are just really important to help a person advance. But I would like to add that, you know, that each person should look for your mentorship or mentor or your sponsor from anybody. I mean, I could say that right now within IMT, you know, my boss is a male, and I want to say that he is a mentor of mine. Another mentor of mine is a male who is one of our owners. They both, you know, I feel that they've been my sponsors, they've been my champions. They've helped me advance and develop, you know, through my career. So while, you know, sometimes having matching up two women, you know, for a mentorship program can be helpful to help with some of the conversations that you know that come up because our experiences are different. But mentors can be anybody, and so I think it's important to open ourselves up to that.
So if somebody, excuse me, was working, a woman was working in a company that did not have a formal mentorship program, what kind of a suggestion would you give to them to be able to start getting that mentor? Should they be proactive and go to someone within the company and say, I'd like for you to be my mentor?
I think that is one way, is certainly to ask. And that is one way. Another way is looking at who is available to you, and looking at you know, who has some skill sets that you need, that you want to develop. You know, so who can be helpful to you? And that's where the person can start initiating conversations, even if they're maybe not feeling as bold and enough to directly ask for a mentorship. But just start bringing up conversations and just start asking some questions with those people that think, you know, you could help you. And it's always important also to, you know, raise your hand for assignments. Make it known that you want more, and make it known to those people that can help make it happen.
Yeah,
I think that's so important because women tend to, you know, they don't want to make waves sometimes. And I know that's changing and that's a broad stereotype, but I think women especially have to be their own cheerleaders. And I think it's important for companies to seek out women to promote and make sure they're looking at the best possible candidates. But I think women also need to learn to take up space and ask the questions. I know when I first started in my career, and I'm publishing, it's a little different, but you know, I was too shy to ask anything. I didn't want to cause any problems or for anyone to think I was annoying. Now I feel like everyone thinks I'm annoying, and it's fine. It's fine. I hear it from my kids. But, you know, that's how you get out there, and you just keep asking questions. I love the idea of asking for assignments and always being willing to learn new things, even if it's not in your job description. And I think that's a great way to advance. I love that idea.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here for this segment. We're going to be back with our next segment of Multifamily Matters after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of women in leadership positions in multifamily real estate. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me today by phone are two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Jessica Fuhr, Managing Editor of Multi-Housing News, and Jana Frazier, Associate Vice President of Recruiting and Engagement with IMT Residential. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company. Consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. I want to ask you, Jana, about preparing women for higher roles. What is it that, in your experience, is being done? What are you guys doing at IMT? What do you think can be done, and what's important in that aspect?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we spoke a few minutes ago about, you know, the importance of having mentors, and whether that's a formal program or it's informal, you know, I just want to state that again, because I think that that is extremely important, because we all need somebody to talk to and ask those questions about, you know, I have this situation. I'm not quite sure how to handle it. How do I, you know, what is the best way? That is really important. But certainly informal mentorships work really well for companies that don't have formal mentorships. And also we talked about, you know, raising our hands. You know, being given different projects, different assignments to really, you know, let your skills shine is a great way to just be seen. And so, you know, for one, we need to be the people that is looking for those things. And one thing that I always tell people is that a great thing to do is really just take a step back for yourself and look at the organization, how it's ran, where are those areas of opportunities within the organization? And then once you see those areas of opportunities, ask yourself, is there anything I could do to fix that and make that better? Look for those and then just start working on it. Start talking about it and see how it can evolve from there. That's one of the things that I've tried to do, you know, throughout my career, and particularly at IMT. I first came to IMT to really build out a recruiting program, and I did that. And once I had that in place, and I really saw the need, recruiting and engagement just go so well together, and retention. Those are all topics that all really go so well together. Mm-hmm. They're hand in hand. So then when I turned my attention to engagement and culture and retention, then I started seeing opportunities within the company, and I just started having conversations with a lot of people in leadership roles about what that could look like. And once I saw that, you know, some sparks were being set and people were getting excited about some of the things that I was talking about, I took it and I ran with it. And then, you know, and then for at IMT, what that meant was really building out a culture program, defining our company values, promoting our company values. That's what we needed at the time, and that's what you know, I helped build some excitement around, and that's where the sparks were flying. So I took it and ran with it. So I would encourage people to kind of do the same. Look around, see what's needed. Don't wait to be asked. Just jump in there and do it.
And Jessica, what are you seeing?
Oh, I agree. I think those were some great points. I think culture is so important. And to make a culture fit a woman, I think companies need to consider maybe having flexible schedules, good maternity leave, mentorship programs. I know we've mentioned a million times, but that's how important it is. All those really, really help. I think also leaders need to take a look at how their team communicates, because if women are more likely to email, then maybe ask them for their opinions via email. You know, if the men are dominating the meetings, which isn't, you know, always the case, but sometimes, you know, call on the women and let them answer as well. So I think just making the environment welcoming for everyone, mm-hmm. I think that would be really great.
Yeah.
So that's a good point about making it welcome and making sure that everybody has a voice in a meeting is really important. So thank you, Jessica, for bringing that up. And for those of us who are in that meeting, we can help with that, right? We can call upon people that are maybe being a little bit more quiet and that need some encouragement to speak up. And when they do speak up, you know, come right in and compliment them afterwards, or, you know, echo what they said to really put some emphasis on it. So we can be helpful to other people in that way.
I love that. And saying, you know, even just saying good idea. I know some people have said that to me, and it made my day, you know, and then I was more willing to help and contribute later in other meetings. You know, anything like that, the little things, really, you know, it doesn't, sweeping company policies are great, but just making the culture welcoming to people, I think, makes all the difference.
And we touched a little bit on it previously, but what can be done to make positions more appealing for women in multifamily, as far as... I mean, we're all thinking under the glasses of the pandemic on right now. But even when the pandemic is in our rearview mirror, and we've gone back to what would be whatever is considered normal, what would be some things that would make positions more appealing to women? That maybe being done now by some companies, or that should be being done. I'll start with you, Jana.
Sure. You know, and Jessica mentioned a moment ago about, you know, more flexibility in the work environment. Obviously, that would be helpful to everybody, but particularly women with a little bit different life demands. That flexibility will be very helpful, and I'm really hoping that companies will continue to provide that flexibility, and whether that's, you know, the flexible with the work schedule, or flexible with, you know, being able to work from home part of the time, whatever that may be, that I think that will go the longest way. And again, allowing that flexibility to everyone, and allowing men to have a little bit more flexibility in their day should also help women as well juggle those responsibilities. If it is a two-parent household and both the male and the female have some flexibility in their job, that'll make the entire family, you know, run a little bit better and help both parties really, you know, stay with their career and continue developing in their careers.
And what are you seeing, Jessica?
I totally agree. For example, for me, I mentioned I have a 6-year-old. I also have a 4-year-old. Before the pandemic, I had to take a bus to the subway to walk a few blocks to my office, and same home. I had to, you know, if the bus hit any traffic, which, you know, a drop of rain or like a leaf on the highway, there's traffic. And I'd be late getting my daughter from kindergarten. Now, I've talked to CEOs, I've talked to all sorts of important people, but those kindergarten ladies are very scary. And I'd be so nervous picking up my daughter and explaining why I was 5 minutes late. And so it was giving me stress. Every Sunday I'd be, you know, work myself up. And finally I went to my boss and I screwed up all my courage and I said, you know, I really need to work half an hour earlier and half an hour, you know, and leave half an hour earlier so that I could miss the rush hour traffic. And she said, of course. And, you know, then I felt stupid for being nervous for like a week bringing this up. But that made such a difference. I knew they appreciated me. I knew they were willing to, you know, adjust and make me comfortable. And then I didn't have to see the mean kindergarten ladies and explain why I was late. And, you know, something so little like that. And, you know, we all have our phones 24/7 now. We could answer emails on the bus if we need to. So just something like that, just the flexibility and giving your workers confidence to come to you if they have a problem and to work with them, I think that makes such a difference.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and break it here. We are going to come back after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing company, consistently excellent.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of women in leadership positions in multifamily real estate. I'm Paul Marks, and I'm honored today to have joining me by phone two longtime multifamily industry veterans, Jessica Fior, Managing Editor of Multihousing News, and Jana Frazier, Associate Vice President of Recruiting and Engagement for IMT Residential. I do want to remind our business supplier listeners If you are a supplier to the industry and you're interested in some very unique sponsorships that we have available, please feel free to reach out to us through our website at multifamilyradio.com. Jen, I want to ask you a question. In your role as in recruiting, you certainly have the opportunity to look for and find people in the industry. When it comes to women in the industry, what do you see when either you're looking at their resume or in their background that really kind of makes your eyes open a little wider and gets you to be interested in finding out more of them? And then in knowing that, what can you counsel our listeners on, our female listeners on who are in the industry, on things they could do, whether they're classes or getting designations, things like that that they can do to beef up their background and their resume so that they are attractive candidates for higher positions in the industry?
Sure. So, first, to respond to that, I'd like to tell you about that there was an article published by Harvard Business Review, and these statistics really kind of stuck in my head and surprised me quite a bit, but I think it's absolutely true that when men are applying for a position, if they meet about 60% of the qualifications, they will apply. Okay, women generally will apply if they feel that they meet 100% of the qualifications. Oh. I read that; that was surprising to me, that discrepancy. But I do think that is true, and I think that is something that we should keep in mind. So, first of all, I would like everyone to know that a lot of times in hiring, you don't necessarily have to meet every single one of the job qualifications, right? The ideal candidate that everyone would be excited about doesn't necessarily meet everyone, but they meet important ones and they show potential. And so obviously, especially in leadership roles, a person's soft skills are more important than the number of years, that they've been in a role. I mean, certainly the knowledge has to be there. Some level of experience has to be there. But if you don't have that, but you know you're a strong leader, you know you're a strong decision maker, you know you're a good communicator, and those are things that are really important and go really far. And if you're motivated and ambitious, those things go really far. So, first of all, yes, women, think about that. Think about that 60%. If you meet 60% of those job qualifications, raise your hand. Apply for that job. Apply for that promotion. And it at the very least, it gets your name out there and lets it be known that you are looking for something. So again, going back to, how to prepare, yes, experience, knowledge is important. Getting the, I do recommend getting the appropriate certifications for whatever your functional area is, just because that is a demonstration that you have the knowledge needed. One difference I see between men and women in how they write their resumes, and I think women can learn from this, is that men tend to put a little bit more about their accomplishments in there. They put what they do and what accomplishments they have achieved. Women tend to put what they do, but not necessarily those accomplishments. So that's a tip I would like to give women is take a look at your resume and make sure you have that in there. What did you accomplish? What are you really proud of at each of those jobs? And make sure you highlight that and put it in there.
I think that those are great ideas and great tips. And I can just say that a lot of the people that we've had as guests on our shows, women who have made it into those leadership roles, and this is a completely informal survey on my part, but I would say that a lot of them, it seems like, have gone to the step of not only getting – their designations and certifications through the National Apartment Association, whatever they might choose to get. But they also take it one step further, and they go to the Institute of Real Estate Management and get their CPMs, or their Certified Property Managers, which when I talk to people who have done that, they say that it's a much more difficult certification from the standpoint of the emphasis on the financial aspects of managing and assets and properties. And so it takes longer, and it's more expensive, and takes a real dedication to get it. And it's interesting that I've just noticed that a lot of the people in the leadership role have that designation. I don't know, Jessica, what have you seen in that area?
So I think getting those really help. With my magazine, we've had a lot of programs, you know, Executive of the Year, and we look at Rising Star. And it's interesting looking at the different applications. Some of the best ones don't have every single designation, but maybe they'll have volunteer work, and they really show a full, well-rounded person who is interested in their community. And those people, you know, go far, and that makes you stand out from your peers. But I'm just flashing back now to all the, you know, back in the day when I was applying to jobs and thinking, oh, no, did I not apply to things because I had 60%? So you gave me a lot to think about.
Now, those are certainly great tips, Janet, that you have given. What I want to transition in just a minute, but I did want to ask one question. What do you believe is the most important tip you can give to somebody if they want to move up the ladder? I mean, I can think of one, and that is, don't be afraid, do it. But I don't know. What is your opinion, Jana?
I do agree with you. Don't be afraid, do it. And you know, and that is a good one. I completely agree with that. And I also liked, you know, what Jessica said a moment ago about volunteering or getting involved, showing a well-rounded skill set. And that's the thing, that can really help you get experience or just demonstrate a skill that you have, that you know you have, but you haven't yet had a chance to, you know, to use it or put it to work in your job. Sometimes you can do that as a volunteer. If you feel that you need to demonstrate some financial expertise, or if you feel that you need to be to show your more of a sales or persuasive skills, then there could be that opportunity as volunteer work. Yeah, I think those are both really great suggestions.
We could certainly talk about this topic for quite a bit more, but I do want to transition us. I want to ask you first, Jana. Tell our listeners a little bit about how you got into the business, and also about IMT, what you're doing now, what you're looking for now, and how someone could get in touch with you.
Sure. Yes. And, you know, I started my career, you know, focused on wanting to help people. In college, I studied psychology. I got a master's degree in organizational psychology, and all with the interest in wanting to help people. And I really decided to focus on the work environment, which took me into human resources. So I am very passionate about the employee experience and the value that brings an organization to their success. So at IMT Residential, I am, you know, very proud and honored to be able to head up a lot of our programs about the, you know, about the employee experience, you know, whether it's recruiting, getting into the organization, different programs for our retention and our engagement and our company culture, And our whole performance management process for how people are being evaluated. These are all things I'm really passionate about. So I would like to invite people that also have these passions to reach out to me. I love connecting with people, and I believe that there's room for us all to succeed. So I'm really big on sharing ideas with people from other companies. So please feel free to reach out to me. I am active on LinkedIn. That is an easy way to find me. But thank you. This has been a wonderful conversation.
And just to remind our listeners, IMT Residential did recently win the best place to work in multifamily for women for 2020. Congratulations again on that. I do want to ask you, Jessica, tell us a little bit about what's going on with multi-housing news and what you're working on.
Oh, sure. And Janet, that is awesome, that award. That is so cool. So I've been the managing editor at Multi-Housing News for a few years now, also Commercial Property Executive, which is our sister publication. I think 9 years ago, I started as a news editor, became a senior editor, and now managing editor. So I've been here a while. It's great. We're doing, if you're not familiar with the website, please go on and, you know, click on everything and just, you know, improve our stats. That would be wonderful. But we're always looking for sources. We're looking for bylines. We cover, for multi-housing news, we cover everything in the multifamily industries, commercial property. We cover a lot of the different asset classes for commercial, and we look at marketing. We look at deals, so across the whole gamut. So I'm also pretty active on LinkedIn, or you could email me at jessica.fuhr@cpe-mhn.com, and, you know, please do.
Yeah, and I can say that I subscribe to your daily newsletter, and it's great information there. So anybody in multifamily, I would encourage you to subscribe. Ladies, thank you so much. It's been a great show. I'd love to have you back on again soon. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.